May your Bibles tonight turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Last week we went through the first 20 verses, and it's my intention to finish the chapter tonight. But there's 39 verses left. We'll get there. We'll get there. But last week we went through, I am the light of the world. And this is where Christ made his claim that he is the light of the world. And he is. He made light. He made light. So the light of Christ is an everlasting light. In verses 1 and 2, we see a pattern that was seen. While everybody went home, Christ went to the Mount of Olives. While everybody went and did their own duties, Christ probably went to pray. And then the next day, he's back in the temple because that's where they're supposed to be, because it was the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And he taught God's word. In verses 3 through 11, we see the incident of the woman that was taken in adultery. The problem was presented. It was an intriguing event. How did they catch her in the act? Okay. How did they know it was happening? There was some collusion probably going on there. It was a setup for Christ because they said they tempted him. They tempted him. And there was an inciting request, basically. Moses says to stone him. And Christ gives an incredible answer here. Their problem was neglected because they were violating the law themselves. They were supposed to bring both there. And if they were going to be stoned, both of them would be stoned. But Christ said this. He says, if you don't have any sin, then you can throw the first stone. And the issue is they were judging based on their judgment, not on God's judgment. So then he goes on, and there's a point being made to the woman. They all leave because he's writing on the ground. We don't know what he was writing, but they all left. And so in the end, there was just Christ and the woman. And there are no more accusers. And Christ said this. He says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. You know, we condemn ourselves. We condemn ourselves. And we need to understand that. And he says basically, go and what? Sin no more. God's mercy should be heeded. Is there somebody at the door? Check. Okay. And then in verses 12 through 20, we see the proclamation of the Savior. We said that during the Feast of Tabernacles at night, there are these great big torches in the court of the women in the tabernacle that lit up the entire court. Now, those were lit up for those 7 days. This is the eighth day. Those lights are going out. Now, Christ stands up and says, I am the light of the world. The Pharisees continue to deny, and then there's a defense by Christ in verses 14 through 18. He says, you deny my origin because it's beyond your comprehension. It's beyond your comprehension. You deny the law of God, and there is the determination of Christ that they're lost. They're lost. So tonight, we're going to go through verses 21 through 59, and really Christ is just continuing the same argument that he's had. I am the Messiah. I am God. They don't believe me. And so we're looking at the God of the living. The God of the living, verses 21 through 59. And we need to understand that Christ is the eternal God, regardless of what other people say, regardless of what you think. Regardless of what other books say, Christ is God. Period. And so there's 4 points that we need to look at tonight. The first one is in verses 21 through 30. It's the refusal to understand Christ. It's the refusal to understand Christ. Now in verses 21 through 24, Christ gives a condemnation. He condemns them. It says here in our passage, it says, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. He's already said this before. It says, then said the Jews. Now when we see the Jews, we're talking about the religious leaders. We're not talking about the entire crowd. We're talking about the religious leaders here. Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, if you haven't listened before, listen now, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If you have your Bible open, you can just turn over a couple of chapters to John chapter 3 and look at verse 36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on them. He says, if you don't change, you're going to die in your sins. And when you die in your sins, you're going to hell. And there is no recourse. You are condemned already. And that's what he told Nicodemus. That's what he told the crowd. He said this before. He says, I am from above. And now we're going to get into this issue of who is your father. If I am your father, where is my what? Where is my honor? Where is my honor? So we see here, at first, he says, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come, because Christ is going to rise from the dead and go to heaven. In verses 25 to 27, we see Christ's confession. Then said they unto him, who art thou? You know, mankind can come up with some pretty stupid questions. And we come up with some pretty dumb questions at times. Who art thou? If they haven't figured out that he's the bread from above, he's the living water, he's the light of the world, he's all those things, he's the Christ. John the Baptist saying, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sins of the world. John writes, he came into his own received him not. Last Sunday night, we said that he's the Creator. Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, the same dude that you talked to, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Nothing is changing in Christ's message, because God is unchanging. Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, because Christ is going to give the truth, and they're going to wind up condemning themselves because they don't believe it. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Where did Christ get his marching orders from? God the Father. Where did Christ get the Word from? Himself. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 27, I understood, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They are refusing to understand Christ. Even when he is condemning them and saying, I'm going to go away and you're going to die in your sins. I get all my instruction from above. And we're going to get back to that here in a minute. Verse 28 is a very telling thing. Christ says, he has the cross in view. He has the cross in view. In verse 28 it says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Go home and read Psalm 22, 23, 24. That talks about the crucifixion. He's going to even say the word that Christ is going to say from the cross. He's talking about the crucifixion. They're going to lift him up on the cross. And then he's going to go to a place that they can't come, because they're going to die in their sins. Now it's interesting here that he uses the term Son of Man. Any Bible scholar would understand where this is coming from. It says he's talking to the Jews, right? Go back to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Daniel has this dream. And he says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, the same term, with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, God Jehovah. And they brought him near before him. And there was given who? Him. Who? Son of Man. Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Talk about the kingdom of heaven. But they refuse to understand, even when Christ condemns them, even when Christ confesses who he is again and where he comes from, even when he talks about what they're going to do to him in the future. You know, it wasn't the Jews that said truly this was the Son of God. It was a centurion. Verse 29, we see Christ's commitment. We see Christ's commitment. And he that sent me is with me. The Father, capital F, hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Can you see the tension that's building here? He's already said, I'm the light of the world. This is a temple setting. He's in Jerusalem, where he's going to get crucified about 6 months. And he's talking about this. Some people were listening, but most were refusing. In verse 8 and verse 30, Christ called. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now the issue is what is the belief? What is the belief? So in verses 21 to 30, we see the refusal of the Jews to understand Christ. And you know something? It's the exact same reason the world refuses to believe Christ today. No different. Now in verses 31 to 38, there's a different topic. There's the requirements to follow Christ's word. He's been telling them, he says, look, you need to listen. I told you the same thing. I'm telling you the same thing over and over again, and you're not listening. To follow God's word, why do you need to follow God's word? Well, the first thing is found in verse 31, to be spiritual disciples. Now, we have seen in the text that there were disciples and then there were disciples. There are some that, well, he gave us his flesh to eat. And from that point on, this is the hard saying. We can understand it. It says from that point on, many of his disciples turned back and didn't walk with him anymore. Okay? So Christ is talking about here. He's talking about true disciples. People who really have a relationship with him. In verse 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye what? Continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You're absolutely showing that you are a disciple. There's a lot of people. You can't convince me that someone has a relationship with Jesus Christ if they never, after that event, never follow God's word, never pray, never come to church, never do the right thing, live a life of sin. You may know of him, but you don't know him. It says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Later on, he's going to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, why do you need to follow God's word? So you can be spiritual disciples. Why do you need to follow God's word? So you can be spiritually free in verses 32 through 36. In verse 32, we see the method about being spiritually free. It's to know the truth. He says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Folks, the only way that you'll understand the Bible is to read it. You're not going to get it from someone else. You might be able to get through school, might be able to get through college that way, but you can't get through this that way. You need to, and ye shall what? Know the truth. First John chapter 3 says, "And you'll know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you shall know the truth, and the what? Truth shall make you free." Now, what is the truth? That Christ is the Son of God. That Christ is going to be the sacrifice for God for mankind. That Christ is going to be crucified on the cross. And He's going to die for mankind's sin. That Christ is going to be in the grave for 3 days. That Christ is going to resurrect. And that Christ is going to sit on the right hand of God, offering salvation and forgiveness to whoever wants it, as long as they want to follow Him. Oh, that the Son of God is the same as God the Father. He created all things, and that Christ is God. All the false religions in the world deny that Jesus Christ is God. Done. All those isms out there, they deny that Jesus Christ is God. So to be spiritually free, He said, "You want to be my disciples? Indeed, continue in my word." You want to be spiritually free? You need to know the truth. Secondly, in verses 33 and 34, you need to understand the meaning of what spiritual freedom means. Now today, people think that freedom is I can get to do whatever I want to do. No, you're free to do the right thing. That's what freedom is. And that's what freedom gives. Verses 33 to 34 says they answered him. And here, see, they don't even know their own history. They said, "We be Abraham's seed and was never in bondage." And wait a second. What about this thing with Egypt? What about the things with Assyria? What about the things with Babylon? Oh, what about the things with the Persians? What about the things with the Greeks? Oh, why are all these Roman soldiers around? What did Christ say? It says He compelled you to go 1 mile, you go 2? He's told the soldiers, "Be content with your wages. We've never been in bondage anymore." You know, people live a lie. And they live a lie so much they believe it. They believe it. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They're talking in the physical. Christ is talking in the spiritual. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Oh, did you just forget what just happened with this woman? Just totally forgot. So to be spiritually free is the method. You got to know the truth. To be spiritually free, you need to understand what spiritual freedom is. You're not a servant of sin anymore. For sin shall not have dominion over you in Romans chapter 6. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now, you yield yourselves to God and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's the whole point. To whom ye yield yourself, His servants ye are to whom you obey. Christ said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Be spiritual free. You've got to know it. You've got to know the truth. That's the mean. That's the method. Then the mean. Then lastly, the manner. You are forever free. You are forever free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Don't be entangled again in the yoke of what? Bondage." Christ is going to say, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Here in this verse right here, verses 35 and 37, it says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." When you are a servant, and you're employed by somebody, you come and you work in that person's house, and at night you go away. You go home. But it says here, but the Son abideth ever. When you're put in God's house, in a figurative sense, God's family, you're never leaving. You should never leave. You should never want to leave. There's no reason to leave. Because you're a servant of righteousness. And you want to be there. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So it should be obvious that there's a disconnected communication. The Jews are saying one thing, and Christ is saying a whole another thing. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And we see this great difference. Because it says in 1 Corinthians, it says, this natural man cannot receive what? The things of God. So we see the requirements to follow God, to be disciples, to be true spiritual disciples, to be spiritually free. Okay? However, the problem is they have spiritual blindness. And you'll never get to follow Christ's word if the God of this world has blinded their eyes. You know something? Verse 37. None of this is a surprise to Christ. John 8:37 says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, physically. I know you're Jews, okay? But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. No one is surprised in Christ of why they're going through this mess. He understands what's happening. He's got the cross in view. He's already told. He says, well, when I'm lifted up, you'll know. And oh, by the way, it's no surprise to you. Verse 38, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Now he comes back to the point that his Father is not Joseph. We'll get there in a minute. His Father is God Jehovah. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. So which Father do you have? You have Father with a capital F, or Father with a little f. And so the next point goes there. So we see the refusal to follow Christ's word. We see the requirements to follow Christ's word. And now in verses 39 through 50, we see Christ give them the reasons you are who you are. You're not fully. It's no surprise to Christ. It's no surprise to them. And they're going to get ticked. They're going to get very angry. The first thing Christ says, you said you've never been in bondage. You'd be Abraham's seed. He says, I know that you're Abraham's physical seed. But you're not the children of Abraham. He said, you are not of Abraham because of your actions. Verse 37, he already said, you seek to kill me. And verses 39 to 40, he said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to, he says it again, you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. What does Genesis say? Abraham believed God. Hebrews says he didn't stagger at the promise. Paul goes into Galatians and says Abraham had two sets of kids, one by Hagar and one by Sarah, and one was the physical way and one was the spiritual way of promise. James chapter 2, verse 23 says this, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Paul says the same thing. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Now, the crowd here, not God's friends. They're not Christ's friends. He says, the reason you are who you are, because you're not of Abraham in a spiritual sense. Because everything is about a spiritual sense. Spiritual disciples, spiritual freedom, all these things here. So you are not of Abraham because of your actions. Oh, by the way, you're not part of God's family. Verses 41 and 42. Ye do the deeds of your father. You know, when someone is losing an argument, what do? And they have no place, they start ridiculing, right? They start thinking, what about this? What about that? What about this? And they're going to lose this argument. So, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Well, they got that first part wrong about being in bondage. They got this one wrong too. Okay? Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he said, ooh. How can you stand? You can't argue with God. So, you're not of Abraham because of your actions. You think you're part of God's family, but you're nowhere close. Verse 43, ask why you are the way you are. The second, the third reason why you are the way you are, because you don't want to hear God. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? And he gives them the answer. Even because you cannot hear my word. And Isaiah says this, it says, having ears that can't hear, having eyes that can't see. You know what? They don't want to. They have their idea of what the Messiah is supposed to be at, and Christ doesn't fit that mold. And so they're going to deny this all the way to the cross. And they're going to deny it after the cross. They continue to deny it today. So you are who you are because you're not of Abraham. You are who you are because you're not of God. You are here who you are because you don't want to hear God. You are who you are because your father is Satan, because your actions give your heritage away. You want to talk about who's your daddy? I'm going to tell you who your daddy is. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father, he would have like father, like son. He was a murderer from the beginning. Oh, what does Christ say? You seek to what? Kill me. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And you're telling all sorts of lies, so you must be of Satan. You don't hear God's word. You're not Abraham's spiritual children. God is not your father. You are who you are because you're messed up. You don't know me. You don't know me. Your actions give you away. And because of that, verses 45 and 47, you will not believe the truth because you are Satan's children. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe not. Then he comes on and says, okay, who out here can show me when I'm sinning? He says, which of you convinces me of sin? Oh, by the way, just a few moments ago, you all left that woman that you brought that was a sinner. You all left! Why'd you all leave? Because they were convicted in their conscience. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Because they don't want to. And the world doesn't want to believe. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Folks, if people come into this church and they don't understand what the message is, there's a problem. If you come to church and you don't understand what the message is, you have a problem. We need to check out our heritage. We need to check out who our daughter, who our father is. If I am a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear? Where's my sacrifice? Where's my sacrifice? You're who you are because you're convinced that you're right and I am wrong. And doesn't that happen today? Isn't that the way the world works today? And if you disagree with them, they just shout loud. Or they turn you off. Or they start ridiculing. Verses 48 through 50. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? Now they're not even calling Jesus a Jew. They're calling him a half-breed. That thou art a Samaritan. And cast a devil. Oh, by the way, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's what God cannot forgive. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. Ye do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth, and you're not following me. Yikes. So, we have the refusal to hear. We have the requirements to follow God's word. We have reasons you are who you are, unbeliever. In verses 51 through 59, we see the rejection of Christ's words. Rejecting Christ's words rejects everything that Christ offers. Rejecting Christ's words rejects everything that Christ offers. Verse 51, you reject the promise of eternal life. You reject the promise of eternal life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And this blows the whole lid off of this. So the rejection of Christ's words, the first result is that you reject the promise of eternal life. You can't have it partially God's way and partially your way. You either need to follow it fully or you reject it. You either have eternal life or you don't. You're either going to heaven or you're not. Verses 52 to 58. You realize the problems of belief, of unbelief, from your actions, but they don't realize it. Okay? Verse 52, you make and believe a lie. Verse 52 says this, then said the Jews unto him, now we know, wait a second, say we not well that thou art Samaritan and hast a devil? Okay? They just keep on saying the same thing. That's the only thing they can go back to say. Just ridicule. It says, now we know. We're convinced that thou hast a devil. I love this passage. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Okay, so where are they thinking?
Physical
death. Spiritual. They're the carnal man. They're the natural man. They cannot discern what Christ is saying because these things have to be spiritually discerned. Which is the second point. You will not see beyond the physical in verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? They don't even know that. Abraham's not dead. He's in the presence of God. And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? So, rejection is you will realize the problem of unbelief. You'll make and believe a lie. You will not see beyond the physical. You know of God, but you do not know God. Verses 54 and 55, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. But we've already established the fact that he's not. Yet ye have not known him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. My spirit has fellowship with your spirit that we know that we are the what? Children of God. Paul writes that in Romans chapter 8. So the issue is, you say you know God. You say you're God's people. You say you're people of faith. No. There's got to be something different. Except your righteousness exceeds righteousness scribes and Pharisees, you will no wise enter into the kingdom of God. By the way, you do not know Scripture. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. What day? When Christ was born. He saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. When Moses asked in the burning bush incident, when I go back to the people, they say, well, what is his name? You say, what did he tell Moses? You say that I am sent you. Christ uses the same words here. And they are going to go nuts. Mark chapter 12, verses 26 to 27. It says, it's touching the dead that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Amen. Ye therefore do greatly what? Err. So you don't even know what Scripture means. Oh, by the way, remember a couple of lessons ago? It's written in the book. They really are on into Moses. This was Moses' words. This is what Moses saw. And then lastly, not only do you reject the promise of eternal life, you realize the problems of unbelief, but you run to eliminate truth. And boy, doesn't that happen today. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why? Because it was not his time. It was not the place. It was not the purpose. See, Christ said this. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, we'll get there. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father, and Christ is going to go to the end of his Father's will on this. They want to eliminate the truth, but they're not going to shut Christ up. And folks, they should not silence us either. We know the truth, and we've been set free. We need to be the servants of freedom and the servants of righteousness and do the right thing. Amen. Do you need a change? Do you need a change this morning or this evening? We need to come out of what they were and be who God wants us to be. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to do what is right in your sight. We give you this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.